Adhemar bellowed his war cry and followed, with his men hard on his heels. They cut through the enemy easily, soon leaving the ground littered with the bodies of the fallen. Adhemar paused on the far side of the glade and examined the corpses from his vantage point atop his horse. The lads before him weren't precisely of the sort he was accustomed to encountering. Indeed, he suspected that they weren't precisely human. He found himself hoping, with a desperation that never found home in his breast, that he was imagining what he was seeing. He watched his men finish up their work, then resheathed his sword and nodded to his captain to move on. The men made their way up the small hillock to the road, looking over their shoulders uneasily. Adhemar normally wouldn't have admitted that he understood such looks, but he could not lie and say he did not. There was something fell about these creatures, fell and foul and not of this world. And here he'd thought that pesky black mage to the north had been contained. Obviously not. He looked over his shoulder for one last quick count of the dead. He counted 20. But apparently that wasn't all. Adhemar watched, open-mouthed, as from those trees stepped one last something that was definitely not a man. Adhemar's captain checked his horse and started back toward the creature. Adhemar called him off. If this spoil belonged to anyone, it was to the king. Adhemar wheeled his horse around and urged it forward. But despite its training, the horse reared with fear. Adhemar, despite his training, lost his seat and landed on the ground in an undignified sprawl. He scrambled back up to his feet with a curse. He twitched aside his finely wrought cloak and drew his sword. The mage light shone forth brilliantly. Then it went out. A blinding headache struck him at the same time. Adhemar reeled, but managed to shake his head hard enough to clear it. He took a minute to look at his sword in astonishment. This was beginning to smell like a disaster. He drew his sleeve across his eyes, trying to wipe away the sudden sweat. Damnation! Would the indignities never end this day? He resheathed the sword with a curse, then drew it forth again with a flourish. Nothing, not even a flicker. He took the sword and banged it with enthusiasm against its scabbard. Dull as stone, he spat out a spell or two. But before he could wait to see if they were going to take effect, his enemy had taken him by a gnarled, four-fingered hand and flung him across the clearing. Adhemar narrowly missed landing in a very unyielding clutch of rocks. He sat up, looked around blearily, then realized that he was no longer holding onto his sword. He looked around frantically for it, then saw a shadow fall over him. The creature who had thrown him across the clearing was standing above him with its sword raised, preparing to plunge it through Adhemar's chest. Then the creature paused. His face, gnarled in the same manner as his hands, wore what might have been termed a look of surprise. Then he slowly began to tip forward. Adhemar rolled out of the way before the creature crashed to the ground. There was a sword hilt sticking out of his back. A hand pulled him to his feet and shoved his blade back at him. Adhemar nodded his thanks and resheathed his useless sword. The headache and that unsettling weakness were receding so quickly. He almost wondered if he'd imagined both. It was with an unwholesome sense of relief that he put the whole episode behind him. Well, except for the discovery that his sword was now apparently quite useless for anything more than carving enemies in twain. He walked swiftly back to his horse. All was not well in the kingdom, and he knew just whom to blame. He swung up onto his horse's back, then nodded for his company to return to the keep. Someone would need to come back to see to the corpses. Perhaps then he would have answers as to what sort of creatures they had been and who had spawned them. He looked around him to make certain no one was watching him, then drew his sword halfway from its scabbard. Still nothing but a sword. He waited for it to speak to him, to answer to the kingship in his blood. The sword was silent. He, on the other hand, was certainly not. He cursed as he led his company swiftly back to the castle. He swore as he thundered through the gates, dismounted at the front doors, and strode angrily through the hallways, up and down flights.